Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, because we're going to look at a story where Jesus cleanses a leper. He cleanses a leper whom the world would say, don't even get close. Jesus went about and he went against the cultural norms of the time and even of the law of the time that would say, don't touch a leper. The lepers are supposed to be isolated, not even in common areas with other people. But Jesus didn't think that this was something to be afraid of. And instead, he moved with compassion, and he touched that which was so needy, and he changed the circumstance completely for this man. Most of us know this story, but we're going to look at this story nevertheless. In verse 1, it says, when he, meaning Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. See, Jesus was touching and healing, and word was getting out of this man and the power that this man, Son of God, Jesus Christ, had. And it says, behold, a leper came and worshiped him. And one of the things that I love about this story is that they had many people that knew, they saw the miracles. They saw the things that Jesus did, and yet they just questioned things. But this man that was in desperate need of help came and worshiped. He didn't have to have it all figured out. He just came and worshiped. He just knew, this man has what I need. This man cannot be just an ordinary man. He has what I need. I believe that he is who he says he is. And he came and he worshiped him. When you come and you worship the Lord, it's because you completely commit yourself, completely surrendering yourself unto Jesus. That's what this leper did. See, he had nothing else to go to. He had nothing else. He was desperate, and God saw it, and he loved his desperation. Now, according to their law, he should have actually not even been there, and Jesus should not have even have touched him, and actually should have been excommunicated, should have been stoned. But you know what? That's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that says, I see you, and the compassion of God came upon him, even though everyone else was saying quite the opposite, because this leper was here. It was contagious. The disease was contagious. It was life-threatening. And so people were indignant, but Jesus came and saw something different. Jesus came and saw a desperation, a heart that has changed. Aren't you glad that's the kind of God we serve? That he comes and he sees a life that's changed, a heart that is different, a heart that is yearning to be so surrendered, but needs the touch of God. We need the touch of God. Don't ever think that you've arrived to a position where you don't need the touch of God. We always need the touch of God. Amen? And so, behold, a leper came and worshiped him. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man had a level or a measure of faith. Because he said, if, but then he said, you can. In other words, if you are willing, if you want to do this, you could make me. You have the power to, if you want to. When he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean, he is saying, if you have the willingness, if you want to do it, I know you have the power to do it. He didn't deny his power. He was questioning if he was willing. But we know that God is not only just powerful and has the power, but he's also willing. We know that he's also willing. And Jesus put out his hand. I can just see everyone in the crowd at that moment and the horror in their eyes. But he put out his hand and he touched the untouchable. He touched what the world would say, this is untouchable. This is unforgivable. They've gone too far. That's what the world would say. But Jesus says, no, I know their future. I know where they're going. I know what I've called them to. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He reaches out, he touches him, and he says, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. He spoke those words, powerful words. He corrected, he shed light on the if you're willing. Lord, I know you can, but will you? Lord, I know you can, but will you? He shed light on the fact that the heart of God is always to bring forth the restoration. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for humility. He's looking for surrender. He's looking for dependency. Are you truly dependent upon me, says the Lord? Because all the glory goes to him, right? And immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately he was cleansed. And I'm quite sure that was a shock to the people around there. Now, when we look at this same story, but it's in Mark, you can turn your Bibles to Mark if you like, but Mark chapter 1 and 41, it gives us just a little bit more information about this very same story, that the compassion of the Lord was present. It's the authority of who he is, but also the compassion of the Lord that caused this leper to literally change and be healed, be cleansed. Compassion. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. He said, I am willing, be cleansed. And when we think about that, we think of healing. And I think about healing and I think, you know, God heals in different ways. He heals different ways at different times, right? And sometimes it's just that authoritative word because you're speaking to that devil, the power of sickness, enemy himself. And so much of the time, it's compassion that God pours upon you. But it's his compassion. It's what we see modeled in this story. Jesus moved with compassion. Even though everyone else was filled with hate and fear, they were indignant. This guy was totally breaking the law. He was putting everybody in jeopardy. But if you believe God, and you believe that God is the one that can change things, turn things around, and bring something out of nothing, if you believe that God truly is the miracle worker that can turn it around for you and wipe the slate clean, and that which was red, crimson stain is now white and pure as snow, if you believe God is that kind of a God, then you will have compassion on the individual that's in front of you because you remember even where you've come from. Isn't that true? And so it was the religious folks, it was the religious people that were so upset and wanting to just stone, wanting to put him back in his isolation where you've come from. But we have to have a heart like the Lord, hearts like our Father. Amen. But let's go back to where he said, I am willing. He says, I'm willing in verse 3. Yes, Jesus put out his hand and he touched him and he said, I'm in Matthew chapter 8, but verse 3. Jesus put out his hand and touched him and he said, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. When I was thinking about this story, I am willing. And I immediately thought of Isaiah in Isaiah 6, 8. In Isaiah 6, 8, completely different scenario. Not leprosy, but at the same time, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. What was he saying? He was saying, I am willing, send me. I am willing. God is looking for willing individuals. Jesus said, I am willing. We're to be like Jesus. Are we willing? Isaiah was willing. He said, send me. He was willing. He was willing to do the will of God. I am willing. I am willing to walk that road. I am willing. Send me, Lord. I am willing. Isaiah 6 and 8. Amen? And he's looking and he's asking us the same thing. Are you willing? Isaiah, a man of God, a prophet, he heard the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send? He heard in his spirit. Whom shall I send? Who will go? I. Here I am, send me. What I read, I'm willing. Because you got to be willing to go and to do what the Lord is calling you to do. And Jesus is our perfect example. And when he touched and healed that leper, He needed to be willing. Of course, he was willing, but it's a model for us. Sometimes there's a lot of judgment and judgmental spirits in the church. And we have to remember where we've come from and remember, listen, he's saying, are you willing? Look at what I've saved you from. Now, are you willing to go and set captives free? And that's what Isaiah said, I am. Here I am, send me. So he's looking for our willingness, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Let's turn to Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. And as you're there at Philippians 2:13, I'm going to start in verse 12. Just to help us with context. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in us. It is God who changes our hearts, that we would both be willing, right? We would both be willing and we would also do according to his good pleasure. It was God's good pleasure to heal that leper. It was his good pleasure to send Isaiah. It was his good pleasure to call you out of darkness. It was his good pleasure to cause you to change, to have that willingness both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It's according to his good pleasure. So it is God who works in us. The more that we walk with the Lord, the more that we recognize the working of the Lord to change our hearts. And that the love of God starts to abound in us. That love of God needs to abound in us. That we recognize, oh God, what you did for me, you caused me to both be willing and to do according to this verse. And it was according to your good pleasure. And I want to stand firm and have that same kind of faith and believe even for other people in which you've called for them. And pray into that and speak that over them. Amen. 3 John 2. Let's jump over to 3 John. He's willing. And we need to be willing. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper, that you would succeed. Beloved, I pray that you would succeed spiritually, like in every way, spiritually, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, in every way. I pray that you would succeed. I pray that you prosper. He says, I pray that you would prosper, so which means succeed, right? In all things. Then he just makes it really clear and says, in every way, in all things, and be in health, just as your soul prospers, just as your soul prospers. It's not a shock that Jesus touched and healed the leper. It is his will to heal. We just read it in this verse. It is the will of God to bring forth healing because he is the healer, right? It's not if. It's done. Because it's not if for salvation. We don't pray, Lord, if you want to save that individual. Lord, if you want to save them from the pit of hell and rescue them from the pit of hell, that they would have eternal life with you, then save their soul. We don't pray that way. We know not to pray that way. It's ridiculous to pray that way, right? But the same is true for healing because it's the same. It's the work of the atonement. Salvation and healing and deliverance is the work of the atonement. It's the blood of Jesus that has already purchased it all for us. Amen? So we don't say, Lord, if it's your will to heal. Because that's like saying, Lord, if it's your will to save them. And we know that's ridiculous. So it's actually ridiculous to say, Lord, if it's your will to heal. It is God's will to heal. It is God's will to heal. The timing is up to him. It's God's will to save. Not everybody is saved the moment you pray for them.
The Lord loves a hilarious giver. In his word, he talks about hilariously giving. And I've got to say, because of people like you, God has expanded the ministry's reach to where we are now in 236 million homes preaching the gospel for Jesus Christ. This is incredible. And I wanted to take a moment right now and encourage some of you that have not yet decided to become a partner, a monthly partner, that this would be an incredible time for you to jump in and become a monthly partner with us here at this ministry. The gospel is being preached and people's lives are being changed. And I am excited to where the Lord is taking this ministry. Is it because of us? No, it's all because of Jesus Christ and faithful partners like you. God bless you as you pray and become a monthly partner.
Right? But it is still God's will to save. And some people you've prayed for many, many years, and then what happens one day? Oh my goodness, they totally, finally, right? They get saved, right? But you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. And then sometimes people take that over with healing, and they're like, but I've prayed 10 times, and it's still not happening. It must not be God's will. And then they just give up. But why? It's the same thing. It is the will of God. Don't give up. It is the will of God. So he touches this leper and he heals him, transforms his life. Can you imagine being that leper? Your life is now completely transformed. You actually have a life now because your life was taken from you before. You were in captivity, in isolation. You were not allowed to be in public. You had a contagious disease, a deadly one, right? And so now it's like you've been given a chance to live again. That's what God gives us. A chance to live again. And he's willing to do that. And he's able. I know you're able, but are you willing? He's both. He's both, right? And Isaiah 119, we can just put up Isaiah 119. You guys can look it up if you like. But it says, if you're willing and if you're obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Willing, being willing and having that willingness to serve God and having that obedience, Lord, no matter what, I will serve you. No matter how long it takes, no matter how what I have to go through, no matter what, where, however I have to die, let me die, let me die. I don't care, Lord. I am willing and obedient. So verse 19 of Isaiah 1, if you are willing and obedient. You know, obedience has to do with our actions, but that willingness has to do with our heart. And he knows both. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It says, but if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Right? So obedience has to do with actions, whereas that willingness of the heart, that's a heart issue. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read two scriptures from Ephesians 1, 5 and 9, to show the good pleasure of God's will. Verse 5 says that he, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure, according to the good pleasure of his will. His will for us is good. It's the good pleasure of his will for us. And verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, that good pleasure of his will is the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Again, the will of God is pleasurable. When we do the will of God, it not only pleases him, but it's pleasurable even for us. It's pleasurable. Now, I want to read this portion of scripture, not just those two verses, but I'm going to start in verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed in every spiritual way. Blessed no matter how you see it today. And my prayer is that you see it the correct way. You see it with the eyes of your spirit. But we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. This is what the word says, and he doesn't lie. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, you were chosen by the Creator before the foundation of the world, known in the eyes of God, the mind of God. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. We've been chosen to be holy, and we've been chosen to be without blame. And when we're filled with the love of God, and when we're filled with the expectancy of God, remembering what we've been rescued from, and remembering that the willingness of God to touch lives all around us is still the same. It's His good pleasure. Amen. Then that's when we remain in His perfect will. We remain holy and without blame, right? Before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I thank You for the good pleasure of Your will. I thank You, Lord God, that the will of God for us is to prosper, to succeed, to love You, to be surrendered to You, to live our lives sold out. It is Your good pleasure. It is Your will, but it is Your good pleasure. Hallelujah. By which He made us accepted in the Beloved. He has called you. He's made you accepted in the Beloved. And so when you see God touching and healing people, we started off with a leper being healed. When you see God touching and healing people, we should always rejoice. We should always celebrate what He's doing, because it is His will to touch and to heal. It is His will to move in compassion. It is His will to bring forth God's essence. Everything that He has for us in the heavens comes down forth from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good and perfect gift, right? So it's good, accepted in the Beloved. We've been accepted in the Beloved. Don't we want others to know that about themselves too? Other believers. We want other believers to really walk in this. We know they don't. We know there was a time we didn't. We know there was a time this revelation wasn't ours. We just said yes, and it was pure obedience. But boy, when that revelation came, you were accepted in the Beloved. Did your walk not change? Like all of a sudden you knew, my goodness, I'm loved by my Maker. I can't even define that kind of love. It's even hard to describe that kind of love. But it's true. It's there. It's unchanging. Wow, Lord, You accepted us in the Beloved. Let us be vessels that let others, other Christians know, other believers know they're accepted in the Beloved. It's no different than touching a leper. It's no different, because a leper has a contagious, deadly disease, and so does unbelief, self-hatred, self-rejection. It's the end result is the same. People can receive the love and the forgiveness from their Maker, but sometimes they can't receive it from themselves. The end result is like leprosy. It's like leprosy to their soul. Because self-hatred is like a murderous spirit, and it'll kill and destroy. That's why when we read in 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all ways and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Because if your body is healed, but your soul is not, your body will end up sick again. Because your soul needs to be healed just as much as your body needs to be healed. Because it works together. It all works together, right? And so it's so important that as we are receiving physical healing in our bodies, that we're allowing our souls to prosper, to be healed, so that our souls can find its delight in the Lord and be healed. And just as in 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You may have not likened yourself to the man that had leprosy. But I think you can see that when we allow wrong emotions, wrong thoughts to remain, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, and the like. I mean, self-hatred is a big one, you know. A lot of autoimmune diseases are because of a spirit of self-hatred. Hatred. And it's the body basically rejecting itself. It's the soul rejecting itself. It's no different than leprosy. I want you to see it like that, because you might say, oh, we don't have people that have leprosy here. Yes, we do. Actually, we do. And spiritually, it's the exact same way. But it doesn't, and it shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. Because we have the healer. We have Jesus, who is the healer. And he wants your souls to prosper. He wants your souls to be healed. When your soul is healed, your body follows suit. When your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions are healed, your body is also going to be healed. Because you receive the love of God. You receive God's nature, the fullness of it. Not just a little portion, but the fullness of it. And there is no sickness in him. And so because there's no sickness in Jesus, right? You receive the fullness of who he is within your spirit man and your soul. There's no sickness in you. Right? We're to walk as he walked. We are as he is in this world. So sometimes when you're praying for somebody physically and they're maybe receiving a portion of healing but not the fullness of it, you have to realize their soul needs help too. And sometimes you just need to shift over to that and recognize, wait a minute, are they sabotaging themselves with the spirit of leprosy, although we here in America don't call it that? Are they sabotaging their own ability to receive healing at the moment because their soul is crying out for help but no one's addressing it? Or maybe they don't know to, right? So we need to make sure that we understand this and we walk in all of it. Amen. So all that is, he made us accepted in the beloved. Let's look at verse 7. We, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. His grace is his favor. According to the riches of his favor over us. You are favored by God according to the riches of his grace. Grace, favor, lifetime of favor, which he made to abound towards us all wisdom, all prudence, and having made known to us the mystery of his will. And this is that verse 9 that we read, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God purposed it. He purposed that we would know the mystery of his will. It's purpose. He wants you to know the mystery of his will, that it's good, that he is good, and that he is for you, and that he has called you and equipped you with the riches of heaven, so that you would go forth and be that vessel to go bring healing, bring deliverance, bring salvation. It's already been purchased. It's already been bought. We're just vessels that get to carry it out. We didn't earn it. We didn't have to work for it. But we are called to be givers of life. Called. We're called. Every one of us, as a believer in Christ, as Christians, we're called to be givers of life when we give them Jesus.